medical care questions? Lines are open, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Animal World continues straight ahead with, we're going to do our Easter tip. We're going to do that one more time. So Easter tip is next, and then we'll be back with Vet Sunday. So stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with March into April's Animal World Tip of the Month. Besides April showers, what comes to mind most prominently in April is Easter. And then the kid part of me starts thinking about Easter bunnies. Now, not to mention chicks and ducklings. Now, I don't mean the candy versions. I'm talking about the real thing. Every Easter, many families get caught up in the energy and bring home real live baby bunnies, chicks, or ducklings. Now, even though all of those little creatures can make wonderful human companions, most of us don't have a clue as to how to make that happen. Consistently, many bunnies, chicks, and ducklings end up either dead or dumped. Remember the tragic dump rabbit overpopulation problem a few years ago in Redmond? Or they end up in animal rescue shelters. I'd like you to help us prevent that from happening again this year by not being part of the problem. Please fight the urge to delight your children with baby animals this Easter. Maybe it's the kid part of you that's always wanted one. But please, please, please do your homework before you go out and buy a baby bunny. And be prepared to raise a house rabbit. That's right, I said a house rabbit. In my opinion, rabbits don't belong in cages outside 24/7. But they can make excellent in-house companions. They house train to a litter box just like a cat. And sometimes are better pet for some people than a dog or a cat. But you need to know what you're doing to have it work. There are some great resources around here if you want to learn more. The House Rabbit Society, Evergreen Rabbit Rescue, the best little rabbit, rodent, and ferret house in the Lake City area of Seattle, the Humane Society in Bellevue, and the Seattle Animal Shelter on Elliott Avenue in Seattle. You might even want to consider adopting a rescued model, but keep in mind most rescues and shelters will not adopt out rabbits close to the Easter holiday for obvious reasons. So if you want to get a live Easter bunny, do some homework first. Learn how to create a great in-house environment for your rabbit friend, and please do your best to make a lifetime commitment. And with a rabbit, that's about 10 years. Surprisingly, chickens and ducks can also, under select circumstances, make good human companions, but not in the city, and they're not great in-house only pets. If you're considering ducks or chickens, remember they need very secure housing, and they tend to attract coyote and cougar to your area. So, all things considered, unless you're an exception to the norm, bring home the stuffed and candy versions of the Easter bunnies, chicks, and ducklings, and we'll all have a better Easter this year. You'll hear this tip repeated throughout the month until Easter, and be sure to stay tuned to Animal World, because if you didn't get convinced with this tip, hearing my family's sad Easter bunny story may convince you, and I'll share that with you soon on an upcoming Animal World.
Call the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Vasili is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Easter Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, not only is it Easter, and happy Easter, everyone. we're having Easter in the studio here with dark chocolate truffles, oh boy. And it is the first Sunday of April, which means it's Vet Sunday. Dr. Al is working. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here from Quilceta Veterinary Clinic in Marysville. And we are going to be chatting with him throughout the show. Phone lines are open. We would love to hear from you. And we will be available for your animal medical care questions. And we also have giveaways. We've got a copy of Pets at Risk available, Food Pets Die For also available, and a one-year free subscriptions to the Robin Alexis Soul Spa. Giveaway is also available. Local number 425-373-5527. If you are out of our local calling range, toll free 888-298-5569. And you can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right, as I said, there's been some quality control going on here in the studio related to the dark chocolate.
Goody, goody, goody. All right,
would you say that one more time?
Goody, 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 goody.
Yeah, did they pass inspection?
Passed muster, yes, they did.
And how about now? Gary also weighing in. Gary's saying yes, they're cool. I don't know, did Sandy get any? No.
She got her stuff yesterday, I heard.
Ah. Well, we have dark chocolate truffles if you. No, she's saying, ah.
Mm-hmm.
It's only because she's in the other room, see if she can. All right. We have been chatting about the Pluckner syndrome and what that was kind of all about. And so continuing with the story, and we have had some calls and some requests of what we want to talk about, Dr. Bill. So we've had requests for talking about diet and food, and we're kind of headed that direction anyway, and what rotation is all about and all that sort of thing. And then we also have a contingency out there that wants to know where you stand on vaccines and all of that. So we're going to have to get into that as well. At any rate, what we're talking about is when Al's book came out, he started doing the show. Mike Saluski helped me with my horse, but I needed someone to work with my small animals, because I wanted to test all of them. And I don't know, when I think, Bill, back then, I think I did that, you know, spiritual thing. Who's the best vet for me to deal with? And Spirit said,
uh-oh,
hey, call that Burlingame guy.
Yeah, well, there he is.
So anyway, I think because I don't know, my sense was because of your incredibly wonderful personality, and the fact that you're brilliant, and the fact that you are so open to things. So anyway, I think I trotted up with this Pluckner stuff with you, and hey, would you test my animals, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I think that kind of started the whole thing. Is that kind of what you remember?
I got to admit, I was pretty skeptical.
Yeah.
There's no question. It was like, what is this all about?
Yeah.
But, you know, the cases that probably caught my attention more than anything were your cats. And they all had that Trichomonas intestinal infection along with the treponema infections.
That's right. And you better explain that to folks.
Well, Trichomonas is a parasite of the intestinal tract and see in cats and different species. And then they also had an organism called treponema, which is kind of like a large bacteria that lives in the gut.
So, and you find those when you take a stool specimen.
Yeah, you take a specimen and look at it under the microscope and
you would see, you saw these strange things.
Little guys are in there swimming around, and it was pretty interesting. And we went through the traditional metronidazole and fabendazole and XYZ-zole.
Yeah, that's right. You had me giving them all these drugs to take care of this stuff. Nothing worked.
And it was absolutely amazing is that when the immunoglobulin A, the immune protein that lines the gut,
That's the antibody we call the IgA, we've heard as folks talk about.
Right.
It.
That's an indicator. It's not a complete test of immune function. It's an indicator of immune function.
Mm-hmm.
And when that got up into the normal range.
Yeah, because we took blood on my cats and we tested them. And according to this blood test panel, they had the imbalance.
Right.
So for cats, the treatment is cortisol.
Right.
And so we put my cats on the treatment.
So,
and as that happened, that IgA came back up into the range.
And as that IgA started to respond to therapy, which means it's an indicator that the immune response is positive, that the immune system is starting to function again, as soon as that got within a normal range, those parasites went away.
Yeah,
I had forgotten about that. We did direct smears every month when you came in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, they're gone. And they were there consistently after we did all the different drugs that were supposedly specific for these organisms.
Yeah.
So that was so amazing that it really, I said, there's something to this. Because it wasn't just one animal, it was all three.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't there three?
But the one we worked with the most was my G-Man.
Yeah.
Because he was the easiest and he had the worst.
Right. But they were easy to sample and I could demonstrate it right there in the office and they flat went away.
The thing that amazed me with my cats was being Abyssinians. Abyssinians genetically are prone to a lot of diseases and stuff, and one of the things they have real problems with is gingivitis and gum stuff. And if you'll recall, I mean, my blue boys, Scooty, my Abyssinians, unrelated to the blue boys, he had pretty good mouth, and he did not have the imbalance when we originally tested my cats, and his mouth was pretty good. My blue boys had horrible mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And especially my little Jopie, I didn't know it until I started working with what was going on with him. But he had that stomatitis. Yeah, which is an inflammation of the gums. But for him, it was excruciatingly painful.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even touch his gums.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, like Abyssinians are really social cats. And I call them bump and rub models. You know how cats bump and rub their faces on stuff all the time? Jilpy wouldn't, his gums were so painful, he couldn't bump and rub with his face. So what he'd do he'd do the twitchy tail salute.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, nothing came out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he would do it, his little mark. But he couldn't bump and rub. Once they were diagnosed with a Pluckner imbalance, we got them on treatment. We got all their values up where they were belonged. Then you did, and Sandy, you participated in this, remember? We did a day at Quilceta Veterinary Clinic where all my cats got anesthesia and all their dentistry done with Dr. Bill. And Sandy came up to the anesthesia recovery.
Yeah, it was more like extractive dentistry than preventative dentistry.
Well, right, because their mouths
it
was horrible.
They were in bad shape.
So that we got their mouths all cleaned out once their IgAs were up and everything. And you know that gum disease in Jilpy went away, never returned, never had a painful mouth for the rest of his life. And same thing. I mean, it's been quite amazing that just went away. Because isn't that stomatitis? And that's a disease.
It's a tough disease.
That is usually not real treatable.
Well, it's treatable. It's not curable.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different approaches. So that really means anytime you have multiple approaches to one clinical symptom, it usually suggests that nobody really knows the cause.
Yeah.
So your response to therapy varies a lot.
All right. I promised you that anytime you call, We callers take priority. So we're going to suspend our conversation here. We will get back to it. We are going to the phone lines, and we're headed, well, we're not going anywhere. We're staying in Bellevue, and we're welcoming Chris. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to Animal World. Happy Easter, and you're live with Dr. Bill Burlingame.
Great. Well, thank you, and thank you for all the great information you're sharing.
Ah, you're welcome. What can we do for you?
Well, here's, I'm looking for information about nutrition or some type of supplements for my cat. She has the probably popular combination of thyroid issues and kidney issues.
Now, what kind of a cat is she?
She's domestic.
Like short hair, long hair?
Short hair, white. She's 16 and a half.
White, 16 and a half years old.
Uh-huh.
Spayed female?
Correct.
And what's her name?
Maria.
Yeah.
Okay,
so 16 and a half year old white kitty. And you said thyroid issues. I'm assuming usually at that age we're talking hyperthyroid.
Yeah, I believe so. I don't remember the difference between the two. I apologize. But
and then you said kidney stuff. So what's going on with her kind of physically, symptom-wise, and so forth?
Well, what happens is periodically she will just all of a sudden stop eating, stop drinking, throw up. And it's happened just a few times, but she'll just all systems stop, and so I ended up taking her to the hospital. And in the past, they couldn't figure out what was going on, but what worked was getting her on IVs and, giving her, basically IVs and things like that. And then she'd come out of the hospital, and she'd be okay again. And it's only happened, four times, I believe, and but the most recent, and it's happened once, then maybe a couple years later, and then maybe a year later, and then a half a year later. And then what happened in the meantime, one of the visits they noticed, one of her kidneys was really small, and then but they still didn't know why. And then I'm taking her to a natural vet, and they were giving her some, Chinese herbal medicine to help with her kidneys and something else for her thyroid, and the thyroid wasn't helping, so they said, well, they'll put her on methimazole, so with the understanding that that would risk her kidneys. So they did, and then she ended up in the hospital after only 6 months of that with her kidney values really high, and so now I've just taken her off everything, and she's in terms of energy and things like that, she's fine, but each time she goes through, it's rough on her system, and so she's, smaller, has less muscle mass, things like that. And this time I can tell something's off because it took the fur on her, when they shave the legs in order to give her the IVs?
Yeah.
It took the fur there, like 2.5 months to grow back, and normally it grows back really quickly. And so I'm not really super keen on the vet that I've been taking her to, and so that's part of my hesitation to, take her back and get her on something else. And so I was just wondering if you have ideas about what's a great way to strengthen her system, strengthen her kidneys, thyroids, all of that in a kind of healthy, proactive way, as opposed to something that's toxic for her.
Also, what can you lend? What wisdom can you lend, Dr. Bill?
Gosh, Chris, that's a whole mouthful of stuff, isn't it? Golly.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess we would start with nutrition, and what do you currently feed her?
I now have her on, maybe the past 2 or 3 years ago, they told me, put her on wet food to get her to drink more. And so I have her on a Merrick canned cat food. And they were guessing that maybe she's allergic to chicken. And so I give her the same brand, the same type as this turkey kind. And for a while, I was giving her raw turkey as well, the rad cat. And because the vet thought that was supposed to be really good, and she liked that a lot. And then all of a sudden, I think that might have been part of her association with the most recent time that she got sick. And so now she's not keen on that anymore.
So you're feeding canned Merrick food, is that?
Correct.
And just one variety, just a turkey variety?
Yeah, that's correct. And sometimes I'll give her, it's a little, it's another canned cat food, but it has fish in it.
Okay. And is she on any medication right now?
Not right now, no.
Okay. So basically, Dr. Bill, canned Merrick cat food.
Well, that's a great brand, and sometimes feeding raw to these patients is a good thing. But we want to remember that if there are some food intolerance or food allergy issues, it doesn't really matter whether it's natural or raw or organic or whatever, is that that can predispose to some problems. The vomiting episodes over the past couple of years tends to imply that there is some digestive issues here. And inflammatory bowel disease and pancreatitis and ongoing liver disease can all have a factor going on in here. And then we add on top of that that we've got one kidney that's scarred down. So that puts us at a little bit of a disadvantage because we've got to be watching that other kidney. All kinds of reasons for chronic kidney disease. I'm sure they've kind of done a thorough job of looking at her kidney function, evaluating her blood pressures, which is important to do, tracking urine samples to make sure there's no subclinical ongoing infections, which are very common in old cats. What's the health of her mouth?
I think her mouth is fine. And now that she's having the canned cat food, she gets the plaque buildup or whatever on it. But otherwise, it's fine.
Okay. And is she gaining or maintaining body weight?
Well, after each episode, she maintains body weight. But during the episode, she loses weight. And so a few years ago, she was like a solid muscle and was maybe 10 pounds. And now she's like 7 pounds.
Well, in those cats, I tend to go over to a single protein hypoallergenic diet, of which there are many good ones out there. And I think some digestive enzymes are very important in this patient.
Okay.
Healthy fish oils is a good idea. We know that your omega-3 fatty acids have some protective mechanisms for heart and kidney, so that's an important thing to do. You know, we could always get into Pleckner imbalance on this patient, which I'm sure she's a candidate to test for.
Well, I was going to say, if Al was on the phone, he'd be having her look at the gums to see if there was a red line above the teeth, meaning that kind of being a red flag for the Pleckner syndrome. And he'd be saying, doesn't hurt to test, but she probably has the imbalance. So I'm wondering, Bill, you have, of any of the vets in the area that do the Pleckner testing or any of the treatment, you are by far and away the most knowledgeable, and you have dealt with a lot of cases. Do you have any idea how many Pleckner cases you've dealt with in the last six, seven years?
I don't know how many I've got ongoing. I've probably tested a couple hundred animals, I suppose, maybe more. I've learned a lot.
Okay, so let's say you're not on the air here, and you're not obligated to look at any Pleckner stuff, and Chris is here with her kitty, and what she's told us would be testing that IgA, testing the Pleckner stuff. Would that be on your list? I mean, how have you seen this relate to these older cats with the hyperthyroid and the kidney
stuff? Well, the hyperthyroid is an interesting area, and I've got a couple, three cases going right now, and trying to look at it from a little bit different viewpoint, because nobody really has an answer as to why these animals are having this problem.
Isn't that unusual? Because I remember when I was a kid, I mean, our cats got, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. Now, I don't know if they were just not looking for hyperthyroid back then.
Well, I don't think we were looking as much.
But I don't remember my cats doing the things that hyperthyroid cats do. I don't remember them getting real thin of that. Do you
remember
some of yours
thin
doing
cats
that?
Wondering what the heck's going on here.
But, okay.
You know, in this cat, what I would be doing is I would be making sure that we have current traditional blood panels and a urinalysis, and then I would be looking at the Pleckner imbalance, and if there's an imbalance, address it. You got to be really careful in these older patients changing anything too fast.
Yeah.
But this chronic off and on recurrence of her symptoms is just a little bit suspicious. And it's really frustrating for Chris because it's like, you know, just fix my cat. I want her around for a while. And you've done a good job on the quality of foods that you're feeding. But I just really kind of wonder if there's some little simple things that could be done.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, so blood, it takes a blood test to diagnose that Pleckner syndrome.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who you're dealing with in Bellevue. Because you're in the Bellevue area, right?
Yeah, up in Kirkland.
Because you said you're dealing with some natural vets?
Uh-huh. But if you have any recommendations, I don't know if you can give that over the air, but I'd be delighted to hear.
Well, I can tell you right now, if it were me, see, I'd make the trip up to Bill to get the diagnostic stuff done and at least get to a place where you may then can work with a vet closer to you. But
I'd be also happy to talk with your veterinarian and see if we can kind of, you know, save you some hassle driving north. But it's an easy imbalance to treat. It really is pretty common sense once you get a grasp of what's going on. And the therapy is not all that difficult. It's just a long-term commitment. So you might want to speak with your regular veterinarian and see if they're interested at all. And I'd be happy to try to help long distance if I could.
Okay.
Now who's your regular vet, Chris?
Well, I don't know if they want me to say that on the air. it's a place in Redmond.
Well, is it the Animal Healing Center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's remember I started there with Dr. Sigler, but there is a vet there that is familiar with the Pleckner stuff and knows how to do the testing.
Oh, okay.
She just doesn't have any kind of the experience compared to Dr. Bill.
Right.
And the experience, but so they could do the testing there, and you might want to talk to her and see if she might be interested in powwowing with Dr. Bill a little bit about your kitty.
Okay.
If not, you could always go up and see him. But that's what I was thinking. See,
it is really important not to throw out orthodox veterinary medicine out the window, because you want to combine this therapy with traditional therapies. Because if you got a critical patient, you got to keep them alive and keep them going, because it takes a while to get this imbalance up and running, or to get it corrected, I should say.
Yeah, because there isn't a cure. There's just replacement therapy,
right?
And that's the one thing, like Bill, you mentioned, that it is a long-term commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the one thing we've learned is that when patients that have this imbalance, once you get them on treatment and stabilize them, so to speak, I mean, a lot of things improve.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even gotten into a lot of that. But if you bail on the treatment, you take them off,
right,
our experience is they tank back into that imbalance big time, and it's worse each time they go back.
They slide right back into it.
And it's real hard to pull them out.
It's human nature. If things are going well, you just sort of kind of drop your guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Chris,
okay.
Anything else we can help you with?
No, I really appreciate all your help and all the information. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling Animal World.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. Happy Easter.
You too. Happy Easter to you too.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, folks. We'd love to hear from you. Any animal medical care questions or comments you have, local number 425-373-5527 or toll free 888-298-5569. And you can make Gary run around if you send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. So let's, Dr. Bill, we were discussing, you know, this basic Pleckner syndrome and the fact that when we're dealing with dogs, diet is a huge part of it. Now, it can be with cats as well, and we were talking about cats don't tend to have as many of the food allergies as we see with dogs. At least that's what Dr. Al would say. Now, is that your experience as well?
I think cats are just about as sensitive.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So are you now, as a matter of course, if you're dealing with anything with cats, you're looking at diet and what they specifically are eating?
Yes. It's not as easy to change them. So sometimes we bend the rules for cats a little bit. We just kind of watch how they respond. In particular, in the Pleckner testing, is if their values aren't responding the way we think is appropriate, then we tend to focus on diet a little bit more, because there is a correlation there.
Ah, okay. Well, let's see. I again going to keep my word and say that We will stick with the phones when we have callers, and it looks like we're right on track here with what we're talking about. We're going to Everett, sort of close to your neighborhood, Bill, and we're going to welcome Bev. Good morning, Bev. Happy Easter. Welcome to Animal World.
Happy Easter to you, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you're live with Dr. Bill Burlingame. What can we do for
you? One of my dogs has a sensitive stomach.
Well, what's his name?
His name is Pax, P-A-X.
P-A-X, and what kind of dog is Pax?
He's a Shih Tzu mix.
Shih Tzu mix, and how old is Pax?
2.
2 years old, neutered male?
Yes.
Okay, and what's going on with him?
So, I almost lost him like 6 months ago. He just got real sick, and his temperature dropped really like down to 95.
Ooh, and, that's... Really low, isn't it, Dr. Bill? Well, what, normal temperature, 101, 102? That's still where we're at?
Yeah.
So it went down to 95?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I took him into the emergency vet here in Everett, and I believe they saved his life. If I wouldn't have taken him in there, I think he would have been dead by morning.
Wow.
But anyway, so he has...
Was there a diagnosis on the problem?
Nope. They didn't know what happened.
Hmm.
I'm thinking maybe poison of some kind. I don't know.
Sometimes mushroom toxicity will present like that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so now he has this sensitive stomach, and he throws up this yellow bile.
Mm.
What do you feed him, Beth?
I feed him different high-quality foods like Natural Balance, organic stuff. I change things up.
Good. What else?
Nature's Recipe, Natural Balance, that kind of stuff.
What else do you feed him?
He gets, for treats, they get chicken strips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No human food. I don't give my dogs scraps from the table or anything.
Well, why not?
You know, isn't that's
I'm
a misconception. A lot of people,
them.
you kind of heard it in Bev's voice. I hear that a lot when people say, oh, I don't feed any human food to my animals. I'm being really good. Well, you know, there isn't anything wrong with human food.
No.
And kind of what we say a lot here, if it's the garbage you wouldn't eat,
right.
Don't give it to your animals. But
that's
if it's good quality human food, it's good for your animals.
Yes.
Depending on, you know, if you have allergies or something.
Right.
So I was just wondering if he would be a candidate for the test.
Well, he is. Let me ask you a few other questions. What's his water intake like?
Normal.
Okay. And his bowels?
Everything seems normal.
Okay. So they're always a candidate, but the first thing I'd do is I would simplify his diet, and I would try to go to a single-protein hypoallergenic diet first, just to see what sort of response is. How many dogs do you have?
3.
Oh, there you go. So, and they're all on the same foods?
Yes, except for the older one. She's 6. I give her, like, low-fat food because she's a little overweight.
Okay. Well, really, simplifying the diet is the first test to do.
Now, do you have any favorite hypoallergenic? Because it used to be back in the early 80s when Al's first book came out about food allergies. It was real definitive. The allergy hit list for dogs was beef, dairy, eggs, yeast, corn. And you got that out of their foods, boy, they changed. Well, then Al came up with lamb and rice. Everybody started making it. Everybody started feeding it. Now, the most common allergens for dogs are often lamb and rice.
That's correct.
So do you have any particular novel proteins or hypoallergenic foods or anything that you're kind of feeling are good these days?
Two most common would be a duck and potato diet and a venison and sweet potato. I also use some of the fish-based diets, but I probably go venison and duck first.
Okay.
Just to see how they do and try to get any other extraneous treats that have hidden grains and things like that in it. So...
Duck and sweet potato?
Duck and potato, and venison and sweet potato.
Oh.
And normally, if a dog has a history of being sensitive, I'll take a few weeks to transition them over. And part of those few weeks of transitioning them is trying to retrain the owner to remember to, you know, we need to not give this treat or that treat. And it's hard with multiple pets. And it's harder because, you know, part of having a pet is giving them treats. And,
yeah.
It, like, you know, makes you feel good because they're happy. So you have to kind of retrain yourself. There are commercial treats out there made up of duck and potato and venison and sweet potato, so that makes it a little easier.
So the chicken treat might not be a good idea.
Well, no, you know,
if you're going to test the ingredients, you can't be given that.
That's the point.
Yeah. You got to get it out.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the test, and that test takes more of your time and takes longer to do, but may benefit you a lot. Now, if you have cleaned up the diet and you're still having issues, then I think it's usually a good idea to start spending some money on diagnostics and looking for other causes.
Now, the one thing we didn't talk about yet, and I think that is very important, I think you would agree, besides going to the hypoallergenic diet and simplifying the diet, isn't it important that she be adding some plant-based digestive enzymes?
Well, when I'm doing my Plechner protocol, I try to remember the three Ds, which is diagnostics, diet, and digestive enzyme.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's important besides cleaning up the diet is digestive enzymes are a really important thing. Most of the foods that we feed our pets, they're cooked. So a lot of the natural digestive enzymes are degraded. So adding that in, and also probably some probiotics, nowadays is kind of the new bandwagon. So probiotics.
I do have them on the missing link.
Great.
Oh, that's
great, although it may not be a hypoallergenic formula. So,
you're probably right.
Sometimes
so a missing link is great unless they're allergic. It does have some yeast in it, which can be an allergen.
Some yeasts are also very good. People don't realize how much we benefit from some of the what we call yeast cell wall. There's glucans and what we call heteropolysaccharides in your yeast that actually helps your immune function a lot. But if you're allergic to something, then that's a different issue. But Missing Link's a great product. I like to use that to fill in the blanks for nutrition. But I tend to just go with plant-based enzymes and some probiotics. And you got to be careful. A lot of these plant-based enzymes or probiotics are in chewable tablets, or they got, beef in them or different carrier agents. So you want to read the label.
So there is a vegetarian...
And I haven't read that label in a while, but you got to see what the sources are, because you can have rice, corn, soy, wheat, and those are vegetarian last time I checked.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Bev, I have a question for you, because I'm curious about this, the vomiting, the yellow bile stuff.
Yes.
Because I have a similar problem with Annie Golden Retriever. So we're getting some answers along those lines. So I'm curious, when does PAX do that vomiting of the yellow bile?
You mean how often?
Yeah, and
well, he does it, maybe once a week.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like an everyday thing. Sometimes it's more often than others, but I would say on average, maybe once a week. Yeah.
Because I find it directly related to allergies. And my dog, and Al says the same thing. But recently, I'm finding something that I think is making a huge difference with that, and that's I've switched up the supplement and the digestive enzymes that I'm giving Annie. And if you're listening to the show, you'll hear us talk about the In-Clover products, the Connectin that's great for arthritis and so forth, but In Clover makes a really fabulous, Bill, I brought it in. You looked at the bottle. It's called Optigest, Bev.
Optigest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you should be able to get it at any pet store. Their website is inclover.com if you want to look it up. But
In Clover, I-N?
Yeah, inclover.com.
Okay.
But this Optigest has got not only the plant-based digestive enzymes, but also the probiotics that Bill just mentioned. But it is the first, Annie's been on plant-based digestive enzymes for like ever. But this, since I switched her to the Optigest, it seems to be solving this throw up yellow bile stuff.
Huh.
And I'm putting it in her breakfast and her dinner now. So that would be a great product for you to add.
I'll definitely try it.
And then you can let me know if it makes any difference.
I will.
But so, Bill, you think the first thing for Bev to do is to clean up the diet and add in the enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
Then, still having problems, that would be the time to come in for some testing?
Huh? Well, normally, yeah. We just need to know if there's any other symptoms that he's having that you're concerned about. It doesn't sound like it. Skin problems, behavior problems.
No, he's got a beautiful coat.
Yeah. So I would work on the diet.
Well-adjusted dog.
Work on the diet first.
Okay.
All righty. Anything else, Bev?
That is it for today.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling Animal World.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That leaves phone lines open for you. Call us anytime. Your animal medical care questions are wanted. And, of course, we have books to give away. So, Sandy, we still have books. We still have Soul Spa. Okay, so we've got all of that stuff. Local number, 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. And email is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right, so, Bill, let's continue a bit with the diet stuff, because we've had some people calling in and are really interested in what, you know, we're talking about with rotation diets and all that kind of stuff. And I think to get us started, we can go back for what I first, the best things I ever learned from Al Pluckner were that first book, Pet Allergies was the name of it. Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. And the first whole half of that book was about foods and diets. And he laid out the common allergens for dogs. Beef, dairy, eggs, yeast, corn, wheat ended up on that list. Now, because of exposure, like I said, lamb and rice are up there now in the allergen department, and we're looking at for other lamb and rice we don't consider really hypoallergenic anymore, at least I certainly don't. So what he had recommended back then was to find two or three different foods that had different protein sources and grain sources that your animal had not eaten previously and that they tolerated well. And then you would rotate those diets, and his philosophy at that point was that, you know, dogs were never intended to eat the same thing day in, day out, 365 days a year, that their diets varied and usually seasonally, you know, as to what they could hunt, you know, in the wild, what they could hunt and catch and all of that. So I went on at that point, every quarter rotation, every 3 months, changed the dog's food. And then, of course, you've got to change what the treats and all of that. And if it's, say, this is a quarter, they're not getting chicken or they're not getting corn or they're not getting wheat or whatever it is, you can't give that to them in treats or anything else. And that in and of itself solved more problems than I can ever say. Now, at this point, Al's saying, well, you don't have to be so formal about the rotation and do every 3 months. You could rotate once a week or once a month. I know I've gone with my Annie, I've gone to rotating by the bag or the case of food that I'm feeding. Is that in line with what you are doing now, rotation? Or what's your favorite way to do it? Or do you have one?
Well, I don't. It kind of depends upon the owner. We talk about those things, and, mm-hmm. and we got to do, you know, with the way people are working nowadays and what's going on, we got to keep within certain financial parameters.
Yeah,
and
cost is effective.
Cost and their time. And so I think in the ideal sense, rotation is great.
Mm-hmm.
Practically, I don't know how many people really do it. I know that my clients, when they get on a food where their pet's thriving on, it's hard to get them to change.
Yeah.
And some of these dogs will go for years and do great. And if they start having issues, then people are much more willing to do a food change. And, you know, it's you can't motivate people to do something they're not motivated to do.
Well,
so,
true.
Unfortunately...
Well, it's that you can lead a horse to water,
exactly.
But you can't make it drink stuff, right?
So, in most situations, they're not going to prophylactically rotate foods. It's a big hassle. Especially if you have multiple pets, they're not going to rotate foods unless they have a good reason. But, yeah, I think it's important to do.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phone before we have to do other stuff. And let's go to Bothell. Welcome, Linda. Good morning, Linda. Happy Easter, and welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Bill Burlingame.
Well, happy Easter. Thank you very much, Martha, and nice to speak with you, Dr. Burlingame.
Good morning.
My sister moved in with us about 9 months ago, and she has a We believe it's a pit bull Labrador cross dog that's about 4 years old. And she was scratching really, really bad and had severe gas when they first got here. We took her to the vet, and he put her on Temoral for the scratching, which seemed to take care of that.
Temoral. What's Temoral, Dr. Bill?
A combination of an antihistamine and a low-dose prednisone.
Oh, okay.
So she's doing really well with that. No more scratching. But she still has gas, so we switched her over. We've had our dogs, I'm sorry, forever on Canaday, and they do really well on it. So I know my sister had been trying to save money, and she was buying really cheap dog food. So we said, well, just, you know, feed her the same thing we're feeding our dogs. So I thought that might help with the gas. That didn't help with the gas, and since she's been here, she works, and we take care of the dogs. We noticed that she was eating our dog's poop. So my husband, bless his heart, is on perpetual poo patrol. You know, he knows when they go out and how many stools he has to find. He doesn't save it for Easter. This is a daily event, three times a day.
Wow.
And now she's digging holes and in the ground and eating something out of the ground. And the other day when the wind blew through, one of our neighbor's magnolia tree blew all the blossoms into our yard, and she was out there eating the blossoms. She eats leaves. She eats pine cones.
She's looking for nutrition.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of indicate that there's something missing nutritionally with this dog, and she's trying to fill that gap?
What's her general appearance?
Very healthy.
Yeah.
She's very shiny.
Yeah.
She's certainly not underweight.
A couple different things you can do to try to keep within financial constraints. Sometimes supplementing in a product like Missing Link. Sometimes you'll get lucky and you'll hit on something that satisfies her craving, and that's essentially what she has, is some sort of craving. That would be one thing to try. The other thing is some Optigest or some digestive enzymes. Anytime you got gas, it tells your body's not digesting properly. I wonder if she's maybe not absorbing properly, but if she looks really good, then those two simple suggestions would be a good place to start. How many dogs are there?
Three.
Yeah, so changing foods is, you know, it's probably having just one dog on one particular food may not be convenient.
Well, we can do that.
You know, sometimes it's just keep it simple. I think the first thing I would do, I am so excited about this Optigest by
I've
been Clover.
You talk about that.
Yeah,
my list for what I was hoping he was going to say.
Because you can go out there and just get a digestive enzyme. They're all over the place. But this Optigest is solving problems with some listeners' dogs that are really bad. And it's making a difference with my personal dog.
Right.
And Sandy, you're using it now, too. Sandy's loving it with her dogs. So I'd say get out there and get the Optigest and get that in the diet and see what happens.
That's the easiest thing to
do. Yeah, because if that solves the problem, because sometimes it's just that they're not absorbing the stuff they need to out of their food, isn't
right.
it?
That's correct.
And that could solve the... Oh, Sandy wants to chime in here. Yes, Sandy?
I just wanted to tell Linda... I have Basset Hounds, and they've got a really good diet. They all look really good. They always, because they're Basset Hounds, feel that I don't feed them enough. but trust me, they get a whole lot of food, plus they get salad and vegetables, and they are on a really good diet. They get digestive enzymes. They get supplements. And this time of year, my whole yard is a buffet for them. They have eaten my...
I can't hear her.
Oh, she can't hear me.
Oh, she's saying at this time of year, her yard is a buffet for them.
Oh.
Right, and they have eaten every one of my plants.
Can you hear her now, Linda?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, Linda, they've eaten every one of my plants. The only thing that they're not eating are pine cones. Although I have one that will chew on them, she doesn't swallow the pine cone itself. But right now, they have eaten every plant that has come up that's young and suckling. I have, I might not be pronouncing, hostas. They've eaten my hostas right down to the dirt. And trust me, they have a lot of good food. They've got a lot of enzymes. Sometimes it's a buffet. You know, sometimes life is a buffet.
But she's not bothering anything in my garden. Everything in the garden is fine.
But it's the strange things that come in, like the
flowers. My dogs are eating the flowers, too. The pansies, the ones with the little face, pansies. Are those pansies?
Pansies, yeah.
Yes, they're eating the flowers.
Cats really like pansies.
First they pulled all the flowers off of the ones, and then they went for the green part of them. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to tell you that you're not the only one having this issue.
Okay, all right.
Thanks, Sandy. All right, Linda. Well, I would get out there and get that Optigest right away.
Okay, and that, there wouldn't be any reason that I couldn't put that in the other dog also, right?
No, you can feed the digestive enzymes to everybody. It's a good thing. I know I've kind of, whenever I've had multiple animals, I feed to my most sensitive model. So I like to feed everybody the same thing, and so there's no reason why you couldn't feed the hypoallergenic and rotational diet to your other dogs.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, not going to hurt them. It's only going to help them.
Okay.
All righty.
Right. Well, thank you all very much, and thank you so much for all the information that you make available.
Well, you're very welcome. Please stay in touch.
All righty.
Thanks for calling Animal World.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. We are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll come back and do a quick current events. Then we've got another full hour with Dr. Bill, and we'd love to hear from you. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know, speaking of, even if you're feeding the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you're home cooking, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole, natural, raw food sources. They've figured out how to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food. Add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, will eliminate hairball problems in cats, and there is a missing link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats. There is a bird formula and a horse formula and a missing link plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support. There's also a veterinary formula that is a little bit stronger, but you got to get that from the vet. Anyway, ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. That's 800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Hi, I'm Dawn Stansfield, and I would like to invite you to listen to my show live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. As my guests and I explore and discuss the values of spirituality and how it can create our overall wealth within our lives. Tune in and listen live to the Dawn Stansfield Show Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including a Fundamentals of Animal Massage workshop in Hood River, Oregon on April 11th. Other workshops are scheduled for May 2nd in Abbotsford, B.C., and May 16th and 30th in Redmond. For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Hi, this is Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle. We're a forum for women and the men who love us, who want to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join us now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to be inspired, educated, all with fun and love. Be sure to visit our website, chatwithwomen.com.
If you're interested in reaching thousands of women, for sponsorship information, email us at info@chatwithwomen.com.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. Optigest is a complete formula of 4 plant-based enzymes plus healthy bacteria to support the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. OptiGest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. Their natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/OptiGest for more information.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. And she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Come to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. Robin invites you to share your comments and metaphysical experiences on her forum and blog, and she invites you to take advantage of the free month subscription to her online soul spa at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of our Easter edition of Animal World. We've got another full hour to go. Right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill. We'll get back to that, but right now it's time for current events. Okie dokie, speaking of entertainment on the current events list, reminding you that the 21st annual Tuxes and Tales Gala Dinner and Silent and Live Auction Casino Royale will be Saturday evening, April 24th at the Sheraton Seattle Hotel in the Grand Ballroom. So if you're interested in that, better pick up your tickets. Humane Society also has begun registration for their Animal Adventure Day Camp for kids, for campers ages 8 to 11 years old. There are July and the first week of August dates. The first session begins July 5th and last session August 2nd. So it's time to sign up for that. You can call them at 425-373-5385 or website www.seattlehumane.org. All right, there's an animal disaster response training that will happen May 15th and 16th in North Bend. For more details on any of these events, go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on current events and you'll get a whole lot more details than I have time to give you now. Perfect Pals has got a whole bunch of stuff going on. The 7th annual Average Joe Cat Show. The benefits Perfect Pals will be May 15th at the Shoreline Community Center. Their third annual Dine Out for the Cats will be May 19th. And that means at Amici Bistro in Mukilteo, George's Place in Kirkland, and Cabbage Patch in Snohomish. It's like, oh, I love the cabbage. I might have to go there. And if you go during the hours on that day that are specified, I think it's all day at the Cabbage Patch, there's other hours at the other two locations, then a major portion of the fee that you pay for your food goes to Perfect Pals. And then, of course, mark the date for the Black Cat Ball Dinner an auction. It's October 23rd this year, so a week early, I think. www.perfectpals.org. Let's see. What else have we got going on here? I remember Kim Miller Medium at Philosophy, at Friends Philosophy and Tea, the third Saturday of every month from 7 to 10. And Cool City Pets at Seattle Animal Shelter, the third Saturday of the month from 1 to 3. You can meet the hamsters, gerbils, rabbits, guinea pigs, rats, and mice that they have available for adoption. And I think that covers that's the current stuff on current events. Like I said, go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events for anything that I missed or for more details on what I did cover and all the things that I didn't have time to cover. And then next week, Boy, it's been a long time, but it's going to be Sandy and Martha Sunday. That means Sandy will join me in the studio, and we'll have open phone lines for your animal behavior training and healing questions. And then I got to tell you, Bill, we have got a new product like you wouldn't believe. I think, Gary, I think we might have the best new dog product of the year and maybe even the decade.
Wow.
Maybe the century.
The decade's only a couple months long.
Well, it had, yeah, well, right. But anyway, I am so excited. The person who's making these is local. She'll be in the studio with us next week. We're going to introduce this new, if you have dogs and they ride in your car, you're going to want these. You are going to want these. So be sure you are here next week.
Is this a tease?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if it might be a weather center.